Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to complete our week here by looking once again at the Catechism. We did it yesterday as we were celebrating the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some places it's being celebrated on Sunday, but it's apropos because we're making our way through this Easter season. You know, it really, really runs from, you know, the resurrection, from the passion and resurrection of our Lord all the way to the day of Pentecost. And we see the reality of what has been accomplished. The church puts before us these readings and hopes that we meditate on it and allow the Holy Spirit to open up for us a broader view, a deeper understanding, a grace for a more radical surrender to who Jesus is and what he's accomplished for us. We pray, I pray today, Lord, Holy Spirit, open our eyes and give us eyes to see the glory and majesty of Jesus. Help us with wonder gaze upon him, like as we read what's going on with the angels in heaven. Everybody's in awe. Everyone's overwhelmed and astounded at the beauty and majesty, the eternal beauty and majesty of Jesus and the Father and their unity in the Spirit and everybody in heaven, all the angels, all the saints, they're all being glorified by being in the presence of God. And they know absolute freedom. They know absolute happiness, total fulfillment and joy beyond our wildest imagining. Holy Spirit, help us get a glimpse and draw back the veil so we can not just be preoccupied horizontally here, especially with all the darkness and the bad news and the confusion and the rest. We're meant to have our feet, yes, solidly on the ground. We're meant to be in the world, but not of the world. We're meant to lift our eyes to the heavens where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The more we see him, the more we see who he is and what he actually is, you know. By God's grace, the more we see it, the more we're changed. The more our minds are healed and renewed and our hearts are set on fire and our capacity to be patient and kind and good increases and our ability to get free from anxieties and angers and bitterness and depression and lust and hatred and rage and all those kinds of things. It's seeing the Lord and passion increases in us. Like a friend of mine said, if you want to increase passion for Christ, the best way to do it is to first understand his passion for you. The passionate love God has for you and who you are. This is where you'll find amazing value. You're not going to get it with the applause of the world. I mean, we actually get suckered into believing that all the time. Like, man, if I just was like a famous actor, you know, not a bad person, but one who's really good, like, oh, Mark Wahlberg or somebody like that, you know, and if I had that and I had all that fame and I was still a good person and everything, that would be ultimate. And plus all the money and everything. No, it's just not it. It will never satisfy. And there's nobody like a Hollywood actor who's in a better position to tell you that, because they've actually gotten to that place. And many of them are so broken, so honestly, some just so confused and lost and empty, even though they got all the glitter, it's not delivering the goods. It's always because what all that glitters is not gold. It's just not. And the only thing that will allow you, an eternal creature, to have a satisfied heart and to really be at peace and have a sense of profound integration in your life is to live in and under the superior pleasure of knowing Christ Jesus, your Lord, and the love of God the Father. That's where it comes from. That's where identity, security, joy, fullness of life, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, that's where it all comes from. He's the source of it. It flows from him. It flows from God. It flows into his creation. So taking time to gaze on him, taking time to set everything else apart. This is why like monks and, you know, religious sisters who live total lives of prayer, we're not all called to do that by any means, but they're a sign for us. These celibate people that like an old professor friend of mine, priest friend, taught me many years ago, said, the celibate is a prophetic sign pointing to somewhere else. He said, a priest, a religious, someone living single for the Lord, they're a sign that the eschaton has begun. That is, the end things are near. The eschaton has begun and only the judgment remains. The eschaton, that is Jesus. Eschatology is the study of the last things. Jesus is the eschaton. It's the time period there that he brings in that new time, that final, the period of here. It's begun. The new creation has begun in a person in Christ. And the judgment is the last thing that's going to deal with the earth. And the celibate has a prophetic lifestyle because they're saying, hey, despite the fact that everybody thinks the earth is everything and all the gold you can get here is where the action is or whatever. No. This is all going to pass away. You're going to be dead soon. Life is short. And all things, the key is get ready, get ready, get ready, not only for judgment day, but get yourself in relationship with God and you become part of the bride of Christ and you get prepared for the great wedding, the great banquet, the great celebration. You know, the Bible begins with a marriage. It ends with a marriage. It ends with a marriage celebration because God the Father is preparing a bride for his son, who's the bridegroom. And the Holy Spirit is in the church, when the church is healthy, crying out to the bridegroom. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Who's the bride? The bride is the church. Do you know that about yourself? Do you live like that? Do you have a heart of affection and longing for your groom? I mean, it's there in the scriptures, it's there in the saints, and that's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And who gets it? People who want it. If you want what the Lord wants, he said, if you knock, if you seek, you search, you long for, you're going to get it. And Jesus wants to give you the love of the Father the way he knows the love of the Father. That's what he promised. And the Father wants you to know the love that he has for the Son, that's the love he has for you. And the more you know that love and the passion that's in that love, the more your own passion for Christ and the Father and the things of God will increase. And then when you have that passion and that love, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit burning in you, remember it says Jesus came to cast fire on the earth. Would that it were already ablaze? He said, yes, the fire is the fire of God's love. It's a purifying fire to purify us of all the stupid loves we have in this world. Not, I don't mean every love is stupid, like, you know, our family and friends, that's all good. But I'm talking about people, you know, what are they putting first in their life? You know, the pursuit of popularity, all the kind of things we talk about here in the program. It's all emptiness. It's empty show. And it's a false love. It doesn't fulfill. There's nothing there. But when the fire of God's love comes to human beings, we kind of still hold on to those things. We want to live with one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. We want to live in the twilight. We don't want to come fully into the light. We're concerned that somehow, if we go all in with Jesus in his church, if we go all in, it's going to ruin our weekend. It's going to ruin our plans. It's going to ruin the fun we want in this world. So we want to keep some of that for ourselves. It's foolishness. So it stifles us, our growth. It stifles our progress in union with God. And we don't get what the Lord wants us to have. And then one of the bad side effects is that we become lukewarm, we lose our conviction, we don't have courage, we get tempted, we're afraid that we're going to lose the things that we have in the world. So then what do? We compromise with the world, we accommodate to the world, because we're actually still loving the world in the wrong kind of way, and our loves are still messed up. And we don't have first things first, and we're not caught on fire with the superior pleasure of knowing Christ Jesus. Friends, that's why he ascended at the right hand of the Father, so he could give us that. His heart is for the bride that the Father's given and for the salvation of the world. He wants every human being to be a part of that bridal reality of being the Father's gift to the Son. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, people who actually look like him, remember now, he was incarnate, the eternal Son of God took on human flesh. And the flesh of Our Lady, and he's going to have glorified human flesh forever. And when we come into his presence and are purified by the love of God, the fiery love of God, it doesn't obliterate our bodies. We're going to have glorified bodies like him. And we're going to be able to relate to him in a profoundly unique way that even the angels can't do. This is one of the things that Satan hated about human beings. That's why he wants to destroy human beings. That's why he's aborting, billions of human beings have been aborted, you know, over the last 50, 60 years. That's what he wants. He wants destruction, that image, because of rage and jealousy and envy. But we are going to be raised to glory, the apostles tell us. And we're going to share in that glory that belongs to Jesus. And this is what we're celebrating in the ascension, all these realities that are there. Paragraph 670, as the ascension, God's plan has entered into its fulfillment. We are in the last hour. Already the final age of the world is with us, and the renewal of the world is irrevocably underway. That's a beautiful line. The renewal of the world. Now, the renewal of the world is not underway because we're fixing it. You know, sometimes people feel like, well, you know, it's just the gospel itself is a kind of a hopeless thing if and living and walking out and caring about what's in the world is kind of a hopeless thing if we're not the ones who are fixing it and we're not going to present to the Lord, you know, like a perfected world when he comes back. I don't think there's any indication that that's going to happen because before the Lord comes, it's going to be the time of the rise of the Antichrist and most of the world, even large portions of the church, are going to commit apostasy and turn away. But what we really do is we don't present him perfected political systems or art studios or ball fields or whatever. No, what we do is we live out the Sermon on the Mount in the grace and power of God, and we create communities of love, communities, hopefully, that are living in love, that are living in love around the person of Jesus Christ. This is of eternal wealth, and this is of eternal value. This is where human beings are growing up in Christ, where they're becoming friends of God, where they're part of the family of God. We want the whole world to come into that. That's our mission. That's what it means to fix the world in any kind of, I think, any kind of eternal sense. And it's totally worth it. And I think sometimes our mind is on too many other things we're fixing and advancing, which human beings will always do, but we're not seeing where the real gold is, the highest value. That's why a lot of extremely gifted, like say, I'm just going to pick on men because I'm a man, gifted men across the country, let's talk about the United States, who are achieving all kinds of amazing things, creating businesses and sports, entertainment, you know, ingenious professors, you name it, doing good stuff and pursuing that because they have a heart, they want to do good in the world. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. But many, many, many of them have no idea how to help build the kingdom of God. I mean, like really, consciously, with human beings, that is. They're not using their influence out of a life lived in Christ in the field where they're deployed and following passions of the things they're good at, which is good to do. But they go a whole lifetime and never say a word about Christ. Don't have any passion to, even in their own family maybe, or in neighbors, like let's come together around the Lord. Let's help people come to be saved and come to know the Lord and the superior pleasures of knowing Christ Jesus, the Lord, our Lord, to become part of the bride and in the family of God. And very little effort is put forward. So that's part of the battle and the deception that's going on and why church leadership and others who are more awake to it really need to boldly call brothers and sisters deeper in the Lord, especially in great seasons like this. God bless you, friends. Have a wonderful weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.